show is called Maria. Welcome to Maria. For honesty and to the point news. Opinion straightforward, you can't lose. Get ready, subscribe, let's go. Welcome to Maria. Get to know Maria. Popular opinion or not, you know you're gonna hear a lot. Credentials that say, I won't let America go astray. The show is called Maria. Get to know Maria. Listen to her truth and views. You're bound to love Maria.
Okay, here we are pretty much at the beginning of 2008, and my guest today has been on the show before, and he's come out with a great little gift book, great idea for the entire year and not just 2008, so I thought it would help us all kickstart a more positive year. My guest is Guy Finley. He's been on the show before, and we talked about his book, The Secret of Letting Go. Guy has 34 books and audio albums out in 16 different languages. He's also the director of Life of Learning Foundation. You can check out his work at guyfinley.org. I'll put a live link to that in today's archive. The book we're going to talk about is 365 Days to Let Go, Daily Insights to Change Your Life. So I'm happy to have Guy back on the show. Hi, Guy.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good, Maria. I'm nice to speak with you again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Guy, what made you decide to write this little book?
Well, I suppose there were a number of factors involved, Maria. One being that The Secret of Letting Go was going to be re-released by my publisher, and I have had over the years a number of people write to me and ask if I wouldn't find a way to incorporate the more pithy ideas into one book that was just literally a meditation, you know, a way in which people could, on a day-to-day basis, read and work to practice the principles that were involved in the letting go material. And of course, I wanted to do it, but never could find a way to just marry that kind of material into one book. Mm-hmm. And it hit me. It hit me that by presenting these ideas relative to the seasons themselves, so that the person who was reading this journal on a day-to-day basis and examining and working with these insights to help change their life, mm-hmm. that there would be a context for these meditations that would make the material more meaningful across the board. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of little books with meditations in them.
Right.
But there has never been a book, to the best of my knowledge, that introduced to the reader's mind a far more holistic view of why ponder these things in the first place and how to use, if you will, the power in the day itself. Mm-hmm. You don't usually think about that every day brings with it a host of new possibilities. And the new possibilities are predicated not only on how our actual day-to-day life goes with our friends, family, and workplace, but by a broader set of influences. And I wanted to incorporate this broader body of influences that has to do with the movement of the earth, the solar system, you know, this beautiful idea of seasons externally and internal seasons into one book. And that's basically where mm-hmm. I got the idea to present this material in 365 Days to Let Go.
Well, I think that that's what makes it different than a lot of the other little daily meditations or daily quote books. And, you know, as an artist, you know, so many artists have painted the four seasons. And I don't think it was just about painting a specific site in different weather. I think it was really talking a lot to the four seasons of our lives.
Yes.
And the fact that this book has the seasons connected to it, you know, immediately brought me to the medicine wheel, which, of course, also teaches about the four seasons and the four seasons of our lives.
Yes.
So would you like to explain the significance of the seasons in relation to our lives?
Well, each season of our life, in a certain respect, represents an individual story, meaning that each season brings with it certain possibilities that don't exist in any other season. But each season also is part of a greater story whose principal character is hidden in this broad cycle of the seasons themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with each year of our physical life on Earth. We see as individuals the arrival of, you know, physically we look out and here's these gentle spring rains that stir seeds into new growth, and then comes the warmth of the summer that, you know, brings about the fruition of the things that we love. Then come these, you know, biting winds and the chill that releases the leaves and all things that must yield to the onset of that season. And then following that, the chill and the seeming emptiness of winter days. And so you see these individual stories. And what we're looking at in this book is that inwardly, emotionally, each and every one of us experiences the entire gamut of these invisible forces on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
We go through, each of us, accordingly, what these seasons bring about inside of us. So we're doing with this book what is intended to help the reader connect that while we look at what seem to be the passing of four individual seasons, collectively they tell a greater story that is unfolding within us. And when we can be a part of this broader unfolding and realize that no one of the seasons exists independent of the other, then we cease to fear the passage of any one of these seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And we become less attached to things. We stop clinging and being fixated, as you will, on the various on the sense of self that is produced when we become dependent on things.
Right. Well, it's interesting because if you look at one of the descriptions of seasons as far as the medicine wheel teaches, you know, the spring is really the infancy of our lives. You know, the summer is, you know, our youth, and when we start putting things into action, you know, the
exactly
the fall is, I would assume, where you and I both are, which is I want to say the fall, not the winter yet, but the fall is about giving back, you know, giving back and becoming the teacher, you know, sharing your wisdom with younger generations. And of course, you know, the winter of your life is preparing yourself for the next turn.
Yeah, and the beauty of all of that, and, you know, I never had the time in my life or my work because of the urgency of the material that I'm given to present to really know much or study much of the great Native American traditions.
Uh-huh.
I know just listening to you that these truths are paralleled across the board with all things that are right, bright, and true, because this idea of this of these passing seasons in the physicality of our life on Earth,
mm-hmm,
introduce us, if we're willing to see it, that, you know, you can be sitting at home and someone calls you, and they bring you what seems to be wonderful, bright news. And in that moment, there is this rush, this infancy of a feeling of fulfillment, because things seem to be going marvelously.
Mm-hmm.
And an hour later, someone calls you, and there's the fulfillment of that infancy, because they see a way to bring about the fruition of this idea, and now you're not just feeling the rush of new energies, you're beginning to feel rather wonderful about the possibilities. And 10 minutes later, the bomb drops, and suddenly it looks like there's something obstructing what you hoped would be this fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fall. Now it's time to let go of this fulfillment that we were feeling, because it looks as though something's in contrast to it. And following that, naturally, because maybe the whole thing has to be let go, Maybe you get news that your mother is sick or that you've got something wrong. Mm. Who knows what change comes, you know, rushing down the valley.
Right.
And now the winter comes on. And if we weren't awake to the fact that all of these seasons depend upon one another, then we would sit and resist the change that was unwanted, believing that it was trying to take something from us. But if we could be aware that just as the winter months in our physical life represent a retreat into this moment in which, you know, the vine and the branch, to quote Christ, I'm the vine and you're the branches. In that moment, the vine is completely still, but that doesn't mean without life.
Right.
It means simply regathering itself for a new insurgence, for a new birth that really will be more perfected in its form than the one that came before it. And so it goes with us if we're willing to be still and recognize that our role in these seasons is not to try to control or direct them, but to realize that each and every one of them works for the greater good of the whole of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a different relationship with life, Maria.
Absolutely. And to always know, you know, no matter how bad the winter is, the spring always shows up.
It does.
Right. You know, kind of reminds me.
Which is to the heart of the book,
mm-hmm.
learn to see the inherent goodness in all of this, and then let go, not because we're trying to be spiritual, but because we realize that letting go is the missing half of our life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and I find that the hardest thing for people to do is to let go, and perhaps you found it too. I think when somebody's trying to do something and they want something so bad, because they can't let go of the outcome of their actions, they sort of end up pushing it away.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm. So don't you think it's really important for people to learn how to let go of the outcome of what it is they do?
Well, I do.
I know you do.
I mean, it is letting go is a full 50% of life.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we don't want to let go of anything if the fear of what we have to let go directs us to cling in such a fashion that we believe it's wise to wind up trying to control and direct life.
Right.
Instead of realizing, and here's to the heart of this book, realizing that clinging really hurts. I mean, if letting go were some new age idea, if it were some, you know, spiritual silliness, then we would be able, with direct perception, to see that there are many valid reasons not to let go.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look and see that we pick up a hot pot, we don't have to think to ourselves, let's see, where's my book on putting hot pots down?
Right. Absolutely.
Instinctually releases what hurts it.
Mm-hmm.
So does our true nature instinctively release what is limiting its possibilities of realizing what is new and whole. So as we can come awake to the ache produced by clinging to things, then we needn't learn to let go. We just realize that we're burning because something in us, against what is true and good for us, would rather hold on to what hurt us than to discover a whole new life and possibility by releasing that to see what life intends for us to discover new about ourselves.
Right. So people have to stop being a deadly Klingon.
That's the way
I put it. But, you know, I find that I know some people, you know, they'll call me from time to time and they have the same issue, the same problem. And for whatever reason, they really hold on to it. And no matter how much advice you give them to just let it go, they just continue to hold on to it. Do you think that there's some need for people to stay miserable, that they hold on to their crap?
Absolutely. I tell you something, there is an unseen and, because of that, fully uninvestigated aspect of our nature. And that unseen, uninvestigated aspect of our nature behind the continuing ache that most of us feel is that that's that level of self, Maria, believes that the pain that it's in is actually the proof, actually the validity of its position.
Mm-hmm. So they create a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, when for instance, and we can all look at and see this as being true for ourselves,
uh-huh.
Like someone comes in and gets me angry. Well, when we're angry, is there any of us that doesn't believe completely that the reason we're angry is because we're so right?
Mm-hmm.
But well, we don't necessarily think we're so right as much as we believe the other person is so wrong,
mm-hmm.
being what they are and doing what they've done.
Right.
Now, well, inherent in the position that says you're the problem is the understanding that I'm right.
Well,
and if I'm right, then this anger is merely the merely validates my righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when we can begin to wake up a little bit and step back and see that the very first person made a victim of their anger is the one expressing it, then we can begin to drive a conscious wedge between this idea of validity and who is the victim.
Exactly. When you use that kind of, I know so many people, Guy, that spend so much time in anger and hate, and the only person they're really punishing is themselves, but they still can't see that.
That's right. And the reason is because of this mechanical nature, a sort of trip lever set of reactions, like dominoes,
mm-hmm.
in our present mindset, that instantaneously does two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
First, it resists the condition. This is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And the instant that we resist the news, the person's state, our own thought about ourselves, the instant that we resist follows negativity, which is the pain.
Right.
No, there is no psychological pain without negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no negativity, and I'm inviting the listeners to see that this is true, not because Maria and I are of a common mind on it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no negativity, therefore no pain without resistance. You cannot get negative without first resisting a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we can begin to connect with our interior heart, mind, eyes, the fact of that someone comes in and says something, there comes some news, and unseen but evident, if I can examine it, is that I instantly resist this. Why do I resist it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes against what I want. Now, what is it that I want? I want things to be what I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that isn't what I want it to be, anyone who isn't the way I want them to be, runs contrary to my idea of what is contentment. But the big story here is that life is constantly producing changes, seasons, that are intended to help us see.
Right.
That who and what we are is not the end of what it is possible for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that these changes, these seasons that are brought about through individuals and their actions in our lives are intended to help us recognize that that moment is not the denial of our happiness. It is an invitation to discover yet a higher level of what is possible for us to enjoy.
Right. So don't you think it comes down to saying to yourself, would I rather be right or would I rather be love and happy?
That's it. Would I rather be right or would I rather discover that there is a new order of myself that is unlimited and therefore without fear? You cannot resist a moment without an unconscious fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that whenever we resist a moment, That which resists it fears it. This is huge. Because if we can recognize that, and I'm going to ask you, Maria, what percentage of our lives would you say do we meet wishing that what just happened hadn't happened?
What percentage? Well, you're asking me personally?
Well, I'm saying if you had to gauge...
I mean, for me personally, maybe 10%.
All right, well, let's say... well, if so, that's great.
You know, I mean, but I work at it.
I work understand at eliminating, that, but I would say that for most people, easily 50 or 60% of their life...
Oh, absolutely.
...is spent wishing that what had happened didn't.
Absolutely, because they don't work. They create their self-victim,
victimization. All right, so if that's true, which it is, which can be anything.
Right.
Like the weather today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is that person wearing that color sweater?
Right.
Every judgment that we have of ourselves or others is the result of not wanting what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some people that'll just call me and say, oh, I hate this weather. I hate all this rain. And, you know, and they wonder why they're so miserable.
All right. So, all right. Now, let's put all this together in a beautiful, beautiful understanding. That means that what we don't want, we resist. If we resist at least 50 or 60% of our life, that means that at least 50% of our life is spent in fear.
Mm-hmm.
If 50% of our life is spent in fear, then at least 50% of our life is spent rejecting the possibility of outgrowing the self that believes the fear is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
If we live from a self that believes fear is valuable, then we protect our own pain. And this is why the pain goes on and on and on.
Right, like a bad opera.
It is the circle of self creating first the conditions that it resists, that then suffers from, and then trying to protect itself from its own pain goes on to create more of the same exact circumstances,
mm-hmm.
than blames for the way it feels. And so you have a kind of negative perpetuity.
All right, so what you resist will persist.
There you go. And to see all of this, Maria, because none of this would make an ounce of difference. You know, this is not philosophy. This is not even spirituality, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's reality.
It's reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can be in relationship with reality, as it is, not as we wish it to be, then the discovery of what is real and unfolding within us, moment to moment, by the very revelation of it, produces in us a new relationship with it, in which, finally, we can begin to let go of these fears because we see they are serving nothing other than an order of self that secretly loves its pain.
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to share with you, getting back to the being right, because I'm sure you and so many of my listeners have people in their lives that are just going to keep arguing with you until you wish you were dead, because they have to be right. And maybe because of, you know, what I do, et cetera, I get challenged more than other people. And then I finally came up with a solution to not even get involved with those I have to be right discussions. And my answer is a simple one, Guy, and it works like a charm.
Let's hear it.
I say, you could be right. And that's the end of the discussion. You could be right. My close friends know if I say you could be right, I'm saying you're dead wrong, but okay, I'm not getting into this argument.
Well, I think that in the end that...
You know, you have to protect your own self and your own psyche, and I've realized that it doesn't pay to try to be right, and it doesn't pay to get into those long-winded arguments.
I think that's how I'd put it. See, would you like to hear a book that I'm never going to write?
Sure.
That I believe is the best title that could ever be written?
Sure.
But I won't write it because no one would be interested in it. I have to find clever ways to make people interested in this. Ready?
Yeah.
Nothing in the world can stop you from being no one.
Wow, I like that. Nothing in the world can stop you from being no one.
Yep.
That's a good one, too. It's a kind of nice little snappy answer.
Yeah, well, see, I love that. Because the only reason we fight with people is because we're trying to prove that we are someone.
But everyone is someone.
Well, no. No, Maria, let's I want to be very careful. Everyone has within them what is right, true, good, and bright. And that which is good, right, true, and bright does not need anyone to validate it in order to know its rightness, trueness, brightness, and goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get into trouble.
Right.
Because we're always trying to, there's something in us that wants others to say, you know, yeah, you're right, you're someone, you're special.
Mm-hmm.
And when you need someone to tell you that, you become their slave.
Exactly. It's really knowing who you are.
That's right. So what you're saying is very wise, because basically you're saying, listen, I am not going to enable this part of you that needs to prove it's true through me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I don't want to spend my time on that.
That's right. And and you actually give them a healthy shock.
I think so. And I tell you, it works like a charm. You could be right. And then the conversation's over.
It's over. That's right.
You know, when I was 20, yeah, I might have, you know, argued back and forth until I turned purple. But I'm not 20 anymore. You know, I've learned a few things about life and how to protect and preserve yourself.
Yeah.
You know, let's get back to 365 days to let go. And let's talk a little bit more about the seasons.
All right.
Is there, in your mind, and of course I've read the book, so I'm kind of cheating, the message to each particular season, is there a message for everyone in a season? In other words, spring.
Absolutely. Look, where should we start? Let's take spring, okay?
Okay.
Do you remember the movie, Forrest Gump?
Absolutely.
Most of us saw that. What a sweet, delightful movie that was.
Right.
Remember what Forrest used to say? He would say, stupid is as stupid does.
Right. Life is like a box of chocolates.
I don't think most of us understood that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to explain it a little bit. Spring is as spring does.
Mm.
It makes its appointed round, heralded by, incidentally, the star system Aquarius, which is the water bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings with it what the late summer seeds are going to need in order to awaken from their winter slumber. The latent forces in these seeds, because of spring, become active, and new forms of life spring, literally, from the waters that spring brings.
Mm-hmm.
So in the spring, now making the connection, we feel not only the need to make this fresh start, but we're also provided with the energies that we need to do this in the spring. And that stirring, Maria, that we feel, mm-hmm. to break out of the earth of our old patterns, is to reach higher, to reawaken what we live with inherently, which is the understanding that there is something that lives in us that is truer, brighter, and just waiting to be released. So in the spring, we are moved to bring forth these new aspirations in us, and we are empowered by the spring to succeed
mm-hmm.
with that aspiration. And here's an important idea. In spite of the encounters or obstacles that we reach, because just like a blade of grass newly awakened by spring rains will break through concrete,
mm-hmm.
so will this indomitable spirit that lives in us be able to move through whatever stands in its way if we will align ourselves with these interior forces.
Right. Thus the term spring fever.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody knows kind of spring, things go nuts in the spring.
Right. Everybody starts looking good to you, too.
It is. It is the urge, literally, on a cosmic level, for a new round of birth.
Mm-hmm. The urge to merge.
The urge to merge.
Hmm. Okay, so that takes us into spring. What's the message of summer?
Well, the Sprummer.
We can call that the crossover between spring and summer.
It's exciting to me. I just love these ideas, Maria.
I do too. That's why you're back.
Just love these ideas. You know, the summer solstice is the broad division of the four aspects of the medicine wheel, of the four seasons.
Absolutely. Supposedly the time of the strongest spiritual powers on earth. Summer solstice is a very high day.
That's right. And the reason that celestially it's considered such a high time is because the sun reaches the zenith, the highest point relative to the person experiencing that season. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind that we're in this hemisphere experiencing the opposite of what those on the other hemisphere are experiencing, which is part of the beauty of this planet in its creative form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this summer solstice, when the summer comes, everything is rushing to its fulfillment. All of the latent forces, the forms newly emerged, are reaching their culmination. And we as human beings experience this within ourselves as the experience of seeing the possibility of ourselves achieving, reaching the crest, the culmination of what is given us to do. But I really want to drop back here for a second, Maria, because I don't want the listeners to mistake the description that we have of our earthly seasons for being the limitation of the seasons within themselves.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a writer, if you're an artist or someone doing something creative, or even, you know, a business person, a good business person should be a highly creative person. Even if you work for somebody,
mm-hmm.
you should be all the time meeting the moment with this wish to further develop what's possible. Life only becomes meaningful to the extent that we're involved in the fulfillment of ourselves through the relationships that moment makes possible. And when, as human beings, we can see that, you know, here I am, I'm working for somebody or for myself, and suddenly I see a new possibility, well, that moment of new possibility is the spring. Even if it takes place in the dead of winter,
mm-hmm.
in terms of earthly seasons.
Right.
Now, the fulfillment of it is I start to think about that. I begin to wonder, what is possible within this intuition that I just had about how to make this more meaningful, more fulfilling? And as I begin to ponder that, the ripening of those thoughts and feelings represents this summer season in us.
Mm-hmm.
As that ripening occurs within us, there comes the fruition, and suddenly a form comes to mind. If I'm an artist or a writer, suddenly I begin to see there on the canvas or in my mind that which is the manifestation of what I have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And as that manifestation takes place, it's given a birth. Now, all things that are given birth are given birth not just for the fulfillment of that moment and our experience of that relationship, but that fulfillment of the thing born, just like the summer fruits, must pass.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we release. Here I have this beautiful idea, I give it all that I can, and now, as the true person doing karma yoga recognizes, I must release my attachment to this.
Mm-hmm.
I have the full passion, I've put all my power into it, and now it is no longer my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that greater story, as it is unfolding, needs to take this form and do with it what only something greater can do with anything that's created, which is move it into, and here comes the hard part to understand, that which follows the release of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I must agree, and now we're into the winter of my creative moment, where in the release of that which was created through me, and that's the key idea here, Maria, what was created through me. I am not truly the creator of these forms. I am the instrument through which they are manifested, just as the earth is the instrument of the seasons that she reflects and represents in a broader body. Because don't each of the seasons fulfill the earth herself in her wish to relate and represent her possibilities?
Exactly.
So it is true with us interiorly.
Guy, we're going to go to a short break. I want you to know.
Marie, I didn't mean to get on such a wing there, but I wanted to get that big, beautiful idea out.
No, and it was beautiful, but we're going to go to a break, even though I kind of hear Frank Sinatra singing in the background when I was 17 while we're talking. And the line that keeps going is, and now I'm in the autumn of my life, so maybe I was right. Stay with us. I'm speaking with Guy Finley. We'll be right back. Don't let go of this.
So many great books, so many great authors. Did you know the best book for personal advancement and spiritual growth is Maria's own Reinventing the Wheel, the Universal Wheel, Tool of Global Unity, available right here at www.maria.net. How does this woman stay so positive with all the madness she covers on the show? This book tells you her story and how to duplicate peace, happiness, and real spirituality into your own life. Simple Spirituality, simple tools for living in harmony with all life. And only available through the site maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. Order one today and start your true spiritual journey as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Buy a few for your friends. Change begins with you. Now, back to Maria.
Okay, I'm back. I'm speaking with Guy Finley. We're talking about his latest book, 365 Days to Let Go, Daily Insights to Change Your Life. And it really is all about letting go. Check out his work at GuyFinley, F-I-N-L-E-Y, .org, and I'll put a live link to that in today's show.
Yeah, if I may, if the listener goes to GuyFinley.org, F-I-N-L-E-Y, right there on the homepage, they'll find a link to this book. And my foundation, for a limited time, Maria, is offering a free CD with any purchase of the book.
Oh, that's great.
And the book is discounted better than Amazon already. Plus we only charge $1.99 to ship anywhere in the United States, no matter what a person orders. So it's a great deal, and the CD is a marvelous further introduction right into these ideas that we're covering now. So
right, and people can also sign up for your newsletter, because I know I get that regularly.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. Right there on the homepage, there's also a free starter pack, which includes a tremendous value of free downloadable items. And this free newsletter that Maria mentioned, and I do encourage that as well. Thanks for remembering that for me, Maria.
Hey, no problem. That's where my next question's going to go. I was setting myself up, and I'm just kidding. if you have the time after the show, send me your address, and I'll send you my book on the medicine wheel.
Yes.
And that way I think it fits in so beautifully with what you're doing as well. Your last newsletter, I think, was the one where you had an article on depression. And why do you think so many people are depressed? You know, most people start their new year with what I think is a very negative thing, a list of resolutions.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they're depressed like a week later when they already haven't met their goal.
Yeah.
Do you think that your book can help people let go of their depression?
Absolutely, because much to the heart of all that we've been discussing together, if we examine depression, and now this, I want to be careful because there are stages where a person who, being chronically depressed, actually creates a physiological pattern in their body These negative states can ultimately create a kind of chemical imbalance.
Nice, sickness.
Yeah, that produces a sickness in a person. But anyone, I don't care who you are, I want you to understand that no dark state has either the right or the authority to live in you without your consent. And that means that any form of depression can be eliminated entirely if we are willing to realize its real source within us. Mm-hmm. Even though it becomes a form of chemical, physiological dependency,
right?
Then, God help us, we wind up treating chemically through the pharmaceuticals,
right?
Which is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
We can wean ourselves from this and become free if we understand the following. Sorry to take so long.
That's okay.
This idea.
Dis-ease.
Here is what we're looking at. What is depression other than the false belief that the emptiness we're experiencing is the same as the end of our possibilities? When we start to see that the emptiness, the loss of my husband or wife, the loss of my job, the disability, however it's come about, the betrayal of a friend or a promising relationship that disappears with a dream, that these things represent necessarily the intelligence in the winter of our lives. There is a natural and necessary winter season for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
When we reject the winter season of the heart, it is because there is something in us that sees no further possibility of happiness, having lost what we have become dependent upon, even if what we're dependent on was nothing more than a hope or expectation of something.
Mm-hmm.
When we realize that this winter season of the heart is natural and necessary for a new spring, then we can begin to let go of our certainty that this conflict, that this fear, this emptiness is all there is,
mm-hmm.
and we can relate to life in a new way. It is in this new relationship with life, Maria, that depression disappears on its own, because the only reason it remains as it does is that we resist the loss of conditions that no longer are capable of fulfilling us.
Mm-hmm.
So what a beautiful moment it is for the one who is depressed to go through that crisis. I call them close encounters of the truthful kind,
mm-hmm.
where we see that life is not saying, hey, Guy, Maria, you've come to the end of what is possible. It's saying you have come to what is possible for, we've come to the end of what you have been. Now let's discover what you can be if you'll let go.
Absolutely. And don't you find that a lot of times when people say they wanted something so badly, but until they let go of it, it didn't come in, and once they did let go, there it was?
Perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's look, who didn't have in grammar school or high school someone that they loved, and the more they wanted to be around them, the less the other person was interested in them.
Right.
Well, that's second force. We call it second force.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that the more that I persist at trying to hold onto or attract something, actually the opposite occurs. I push away that which I want that desperately,
mm-hmm.
because behind the desperate wish is the fear I won't get it.
Exactly. And fear is another waste of time.
Well, fear makes me compromise myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a ridiculous, if we can see it, how dark that cycle is. I want something terribly, and I fear not getting it. So I compromise myself to get it.
Right.
Well, why did I why did I want what I wanted? I wanted what I wanted so I would be free of fear and stop compromising myself.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Thereby, I actually produce the very thing that I don't want,
mm-hmm.
through by being unconsciously identified with that dark desire.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I look at every day as a whole new start, and I'm always looking for new possibilities.
It really is, Maria. If we can see it, every day holds the possibility of spring, summer, winter, fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Paul meant in religious text, St. Paul, that we're meant to live and die daily, moment to moment.
Right.
What is living and dying daily, moment to moment, if not the fulfillment of Old Testament, Ecclesiastes? To everything there is a season.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes and goes, whether we see it or not, in a continual genesis.
Right.
And what is that genesis other than the ceaseless and yet ever-present movement of all of these seasons fulfilling themselves within us at once?
Well said. Guy, let's get back to your book.
Okay.
Before we run out of time, I have to tell you, the first thing I do when I get a book like this is I look up my birthday. I don't know how many other people do that.
Right, Maria, I think everyone does that because we all want to know
what's personal for us.
Yeah, what's going on here?
I looked up my birthday. That was first. Then, of course, then I read through the intro, et cetera. And then I looked up people that are special to me.
Sweet, that's nice.
Their birthdays. And then, of course, I leave it somewhere where most learning happens, you know, in the bathroom, so that I remember to read the daily text every day, if you want to call it that. And it really does help set the pace. So I just want to read the one that's in here on my birthday, which happens to be December 21st. And you put down winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. It says, the real reason why life tests us as it does, trial by trial, is so the strength we are yet to know can be forged within us as it is with steel, slowly, blow by blow.
Yes.
So I said, oh, okay, that gave me some fortitude, because I know this will be another year with a few good tests in it. And I said, all right, that's the reminder of, you know, how a sword is forged.
It is, Maria, and hopefully that to be able to give the listeners and ourselves, because we all need encouragement from time to time to weather these moments of vicissitude. What more could we wish for as human beings in terms of realizing an authentically unshakable life other than the direct realization, not the affirmation, not the wish, not the belief, but the direct perception of the fact that everything that comes to us, even when it brings a blow, is for the purpose of purging from us that which stands between us and our own perfected relationship with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
When we can understand through our own experience that each of these moments that we meet brings with it the possibility of educating us to a more transcendent level of ourselves, then who wouldn't want to live from a higher and higher view?
Absolutely.
Because in the end, Bria's strength, real strength, has nothing whatsoever to do with opposition. Real strength has to do with participation in a reality that never contradicts itself and that is forever completing itself for a purpose greater than we can know in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're on the right side of things.
Right. It goes back to that saying that a lot of people still think is pretty corny, that, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Well, you know what? That old corny saying is as tried and true as the kernel of corn that's to be thrown in the ground, mm-hmm, and that has to die there so that something new can be born.
Mm-hmm.
It's these simple things hold great truths in them.
Right. Sometimes you just have to have some patience to find out what the reason was.
What a beautiful word patience is. Wish that we all had more of it.
Oh, what a life lesson that one's been.
Boy, I'll tell you.
It's been one of my favorites. Obviously, I keep going through it. Guy, how do you see people using this book? What's the best way for people to use this book to get the most out of it?
Oh, I think that there's a... I think that the best way to use, to, in quotes, to use this book is to... Well, where should we start? Like you said, you know, there's lots of people who, when they open the book, the first thing they do is go to their birth date, because we want to learn a little bit more about ourselves. You know, in the end, I really, Maria, I'm convinced that that not only is life, real life, a journey into letting go, but we are moved through that journey by a kind of all-consuming wish to learn the truth about ourselves. So when we start with this book, if we realize, well, I want to learn more about myself and my relationship with life, then we start with a little sneaky, a little peek at this thing that teaches us about ourselves. But in the end, this book is really intended to help the reader do three things at once. And these three things that it's intended to do is how to best use the book. First, it stirs the reader's heart and mind into seeing that what we've been talking about, that really each lesson in the book is a call to action, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And within that call to action, there is an encouragement that offers us, you know, okay, look, I just got a blow from life, and ordinarily I resist it, but what if instead of resisting it, I became receptive to the lesson in the moment? So now, the right way to use the book is to see, well, in this lesson, what is it asking me to be receptive of? No matter what the moment is, here I'm reading this lesson, and it's bringing with it something that is saying, Maria Guy, can you see something deeper in this?
Something personal.
So we open ourselves, so that's part two. We open ourselves, that's the best use, open ourselves to the lesson. And then thirdly, as we open ourselves to this new receptivity, that's the same as entering into a broader relationship with life and the lesson itself. So now we're best using this book by realizing that the book is kind of a metaphor, and each lesson in it is kind of a metaphor for the whole of each moment of my life. And what I want to do is use this book to start relating first to the lesson in the book, and then take the lesson in the book into my life that day. So that that day becomes something more meaningful than what my habituated thoughts and feelings present to me through their resistance to anything that runs counter to that wish.
Right.
Now I have a new possibility. And as I have that and see it work out for my betterment, then faith is born. But not faith in things seen, but rather faith in the possibility that life is always presenting me something unseen if I'll go into it, that I exit from a new human being.
Right. So you want to look at whatever meditation you're looking at and find a personal application.
Yep.
Be honest with yourself. You know, I look at certain things like this, and, you know, I think a lot of humans, the first thing you want to say is, oh, that doesn't fit me.
Yep.
But, you know, then when we're honest with ourselves, we look and we say, oh, wait a minute, I know what this is about.
There you go.
And, you know, and making, I guess, you know, making a positive application of it to change, because everything in here really does call for you to take action.
That's right, Maria.
You know, and, you know, I flipped open to March 16th and I really liked that one. It says, we must do the work to prove our fears groundless. Otherwise, our fears will gain ground and our lives will be spent in their service.
Amen.
And on that note, Guy, I want to thank you so much for coming back to the show. It's always a pleasure having you on, and I love this little book, and I can tell you I'll be using it every day.
Maria, I thank you for your kind words, but I reciprocate your thoughts. You and I always have a very meaningful conversation, and I appreciate the time that we have together and that you make it possible for me to reach people that ordinarily I might not be able to speak with in this way.
Well, we're all in this together. We're all learning as we go along. So I know my audience certainly appreciates it, and as do I. So stay in touch. Let me know when you write the book you're not going to write.
Well, I have a brand new book coming out in June, believe it or not.
Okay, keep me on the list.
And we'll see that you get a copy, and we'll speak shortly, Mary.
All right. Thank you so much, Guy.
You too.
Bye. Guy Finley, 365 Days to Let Go. I love these little kind of books. I have a couple of them all over the house, and all of them a little different. But you know what? They really do help pep you up. And if you are honest with yourself, you know, you can make miracles happen in your life. You know, every day is a new day. That means you can start a new dream. You know, you don't have to be stuck in anything. And I know people, you know, who are well into their 70s and 80s who are just as full of life and springtime of their life because they keep themselves busy and happy and doing things that actually matter to them. So hopefully you got something good out of this for yourself, and I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for subscribing.
In a world of fear, hatred, and insanity, there is one place to find peace and information without any hidden agenda. The Maria Show. Maria comes from a place of love for all living things, a wry New York wit, and a keen eagle eye on the bad guys, thanks to a great intuition and clarity of mind. Maria does the homework so you don't have to. Maria recognizes the dangers of our times and puts out constant information on how to fight the reptilian agenda of control over the whole planet. From your diet to the government conspiracies, Maria will awaken your mind and free your soul. Subscribe today. If you can afford to subscribe over the requested amount, your soul will be rewarded for helping this brave woman continue on in her fight for real truth, real justice, and the real American way. www.maria.net. That's www.meria.net. We are the ones you've been waiting for, and we didn't come here to lose.